Talk WrestleMania 40, whatever it is only about a week away. We're getting pumped up. We're going to headline and we're not going to headline. We're going to review everything, what we think is going to happen on day one, day two, based on an article we saw on Bleacher Report. We're going to talk about basically get you guys all ready and ramped up for WrestleMania. If I can get fucking Pizza Hut on fucking your hotline or your speed dial, get them ready to go, grab your Pabst Blue Ribbons and your stupid hats and shut the fuck up. Let's get this ready to rumble. So Chris, where can we find, where can anybody find us if they're looking for the podcast or whatever?
You can find us anywhere. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. We're really pushing YouTube, really, like Cole. I sent you guys the picture from Cole. So we're starting to get into people's recommendeds, which is good, but we need your help. We need you to like our things, and we need you to subscribe to us, and then we can get to more things. So anywhere you can get a podcast, anywhere you can watch on YouTube, you can find us.
Showing up in Cole's recommended, I recommend you to follow or fucking else. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Chris, it's also Easter weekend. And I want to know if you had to pick between these three things on Easter weekend, what would it be? Would it be the turkey? Would it be the chocolate? Or would it be the copious and copious and copious amounts of alcohol?
I would say turkey. I had my parents over for turkey and it was really good today, but yeah, I love my turkey and gravy. Nothing can beat turkey and gravy. Not all the alcohol in the world couldn't beat it.
Well, since you're a federal person that has a day off tomorrow, enjoy your day off, and I hope the tryptophan fucking hits you right after this podcast, and you get a nice 12 hours worth of sleep after that. How does that sound?
Well, you guys are all paying me tomorrow, so I'll be sleeping all day.
Well, good for you. Other than that, Josh, Jade Cargill made her debut on Friday night, basically aligning, and that's one of the matches we'll probably talk about going into WrestleMania day one. Would you let her put your head between her legs and squeeze it like a watermelon? And would she kill you if she did it?
I don't think she would kill me. If I was in a different life, or if I was single, yeah, for sure, I would let that happen. In fact, I would request. I might wish it upon myself.
Obviously, everything would have to be consensual, but I mean, I'm just saying. Like, it's interesting because, man, I like so muscular. It's fucking crazy. It was her physique was unbelievable on Friday night. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, she's a specimen, as we like to say, specimen. And Matt, I like your hair. Just want to point out the hair is like really like you got this like. No, you said like my hat was stupid, so I'm glad at least one of us showed up looking good with a good set of lettuce on hop there.
I put my finger in an electrical socket and I'm all riled up for fucking WrestleMania, so let's get this shit going. If you smell what our podcast is booking based on that website from the Bleacher Report. So let's kick off on what we think is going to happen on day one. It looks like Bleacher Report's coming up with six matches. There probably can be a seventh, whatever, that's coming up this week. But we got the Women's World Championship match between Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. We got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. The Brothers of Doom fighting for, I don't know, death match or something. Jay and Jimmy Uso. We got an Intercontinental Championship match with Sami Zayn and Gunther. We got the aforementioned Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi against basically Damage Control. And then we got the tag team match for the ages. We got Cody and Seth freaking Rollins against The Rock and Roman Reigns. Chris, this is totally up in the air. I didn't create anything today. Which match do you want to talk about out of all these? And I'll ask you questions about it.
Jay and Jimmy.
Well, let's start with Jay and Jimmy. Okay, so Jay and Jimmy, I think we talked a little bit about it last week, and we talked about them being brothers in the ring and how much they can actually do. They're going to probably go to that next level. So if you're picking for booking over the next 6 months, it seems like Jay's going to probably have, you know, more of an upside than Jimmy was. But if you were booking, would you take this opportunity to maybe have an argument to get Jimmy the win over Jay so that you could really push Jimmy on SmackDown? What would you do here?
That'd be I totally agree with that. That'd be a huge move to give Jimmy the W right now to keep it like to keep that brother thing going for a little bit. I think it's going to be a banger through and through. And I actually want to see Jimmy get the win here to keep it going, because there's just so much storyline between it, right?
Now, the counter argument to this, Josh, is that the storyline's been going on for a couple years now. And so we're kind of at this point where, you know, this bloodline storyline's probably going to come to an end. Is it more validating for Jay to get the win here? Like, what do you think is going to happen if you were trying to move forward? Are you trying to end this feud between the two and try to split them up singles-wise? Or would you keep it going like Chris says? Like, what's your counter argument to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is one of the most interesting matches, and I think this is definitely going to be the match, potentially the match of the night, wrestling-wise, just because they should be so natural together. I think it could go either way. I think if Jay wins, I'm not really sure what the direction's going to be for either. I kind of actually feel like they're going to be back together. I potentially see the Jay Uso swerve back into the bloodline because, you know, of the way that the match goes. And, you know, maybe impacting the finale. I really think that, you know, the way that things are being booked right now, that there's a chance that's the way it could go, and that they could join back together and then they form a formidable tag team again and have their tag team run. I don't know how long you can keep this feud going. WrestleMania is the culmination of everything. So, like, this should be the end of this storyline where they move into the next segment. And if the next segment's where they're solo artists, I think Jimmy definitely benefits more from winning, because Jay is definitely more over. So I think that if Jimmy wins, he benefits more, but I think Jay Uso is going to win this one.
Now, there's pretty much a clear differential between them based on what you just said. You know, Jay is way over. Jimmy isn't. Jimmy's kind of trying to work his way back into this to try to get to a level that Jay's at, and that's the way I feel about it. Now, the question is, if I think, Josh, what did the betting odds say? I think Jay is pretty much the favorite here, right?
Yeah, I think Jay is minus 300 to Jimmy, plus 200. So it's not that bad, actually. Like, I mean,
it's pretty close.
That's a pick 'em, you know. Like, if you pick Jimmy to win, that's one of those matches that if you were to try to make money on, that's a match you'd bet the other way. So yeah.
Well, basically, it's basically saying that every 2 out of 3 times Jay's gonna win, right?
Yeah.
So roughly, when you look at this, like, I mean, I don't know. Personally, I feel like when you look at Jey Uso, he's got future superstar written all over him. Could he be a main event hand in the future in WWE? I don't know. I think a couple people would need to drop off, but the levels of support that he gets when he walks in, especially doing yeet, when he kind of does the hand motion when he gets into the ring, this is me doing it. It's like one of those things from, like, I don't know, where you pump the air through it and they kind of just go all crazy. I don't think I've really seen anything like that since kind of Daniel Bryan's movement. I mean, every single person in the crowd ends up doing it. Chris, is he a main event star? Like, is he really main event Jey Uso? And is he actually going to get there?
I don't think so. Like, I think he's popular. I think all his popularity comes from the whole bloodline storyline. Like, is he going to do it on his own? Is he really main event Jey Uso? He's not even in main event. So I don't think he's going to get there. I don't think yeet can go long enough to get him there. I don't see him as a top player. Like, I think this match is the best they're both going to get for the WrestleMania moment, if you ask me.
Wow. If I could know what to bet on that. But I guess we don't have odds for that. So I don't know. Josh, do you think the same thing? Do you think he's going to get a shot at the main event stuff? He's done pretty well in the main events that he did against Roman. And I'd say that he actually put together some pretty good matches on there. Roman didn't carry him. He actually did really well on his own. Do you think that if he had something a little bit different, maybe him and McIntyre in the future, maybe after WrestleMania, that it would actually do well?
I mean, I think Jey Uso's already a main eventer. Didn't he main event a WrestleMania in a tag match, or like in a match already? Like, he has, main event. You're talking about as a single star. I don't know. I think that his story would have to be super special. Like, it would have to be like the Sami Zayn level special at that point, because physically, no, I don't think so. So, like, can he get that organic over? I believe that he can. Yeet is definitely not that, but, like, if Cody doesn't finish the story, like, I still think Jey Uso is potentially, you know, the guy that beats Roman Reigns if Cody wasn't, you know, not because I'm not saying that he, I just think that, like, that storyline is in the sense that, like, where, you know, he's the young lion coming after the king, right? Like, I believe that it's Jey Uso? Not right now, but I just say is that, like, in a different storyline, if the storylines went a different way and Cody wasn't the guy, and I still don't think that, spoiler alert, I still don't think Cody's going to win at WrestleMania. But, Jey Uso, I definitely don't think he's a main eventer right now, but he could get that story one day if the Cody story doesn't end.
Good point, though. Like, yeah, I do believe that when you tell that to me. Yeah, good point.
Well, I think you look in the long run. I think, like, you look at the support, and I think the support that he gets from the fans really dictates what happens. And I think we've seen people that don't match that physicality. We've seen, you know, Bryan Danielson. We've seen, you know, Cody's not like the biggest physical specimen on planet Earth. He's about, what, 230, but he's a little bit taller. I mean, other than Brock Lesnar, I really don't know who you're going to put in there that has that physicality that's just going to kind of McIntyre maybe, but I don't foresee. He's fought Roman two or three times and didn't put on a performance as well as Jey did, right? I agree with what you're saying with the story, Josh. I think the storyline's really important, and it's kind of one of these scenarios where maybe Jey Uso is 20 years past version of Jeff Hardy, where the fans were really behind him, tried to get him a world title, and maybe under the right circumstances he gets it, but that right set of circumstances have to come right now.
And sorry, Josh, don't mean to interrupt you, but if we think about where the Usos came from, like when they first came in that Samoan, like doing the Haka dance, like they've been around forever when you think about it, and now they're in the main event, or they're in this scene where they're getting singles things. It's cool to see, because they always used to ride them so hard and then just bury them like right after. And then it's cool to see, because we remember the Usos back in the day when they used to show up.
Yeah, but look at the tag teams that were there, right? Like, there's a lot of tag teams that were a lot better than them, and they've ridden that out. They're vets, right? So they've ridden it out. They become the best tag team on the planet. You can't go anywhere else. Like, you have to either branch off and it works, or you branch off and it doesn't work, then you get back together and do it again and go back to the well, right?
But it's cool to see them culminating in a WrestleMania wrestling each other.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, we kind of hope that it does culminate, but we don't necessarily know that it will or it won't, right? Like, obviously, what Josh is saying is accurate. WrestleMania is basically your season finale, right? When you think about it. Now, Josh, going to move to you. Chris picked Jimmy and Jey. Now you get to pick a match. Which match do you want to talk about?
So I can tell you which one I don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about that silly trios match with the women. I want to talk about. I do want to talk about Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, so that's
I think.
Like, sorry, one thing I'm going to say about that triple threat is that's going to be Jade Cargill's coming out party. But Josh, you're picking the Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. You continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad. No women's match is a marquee for this WrestleMania. Obviously, the dominating story is the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes. But I think that this match could be one of the matches that if they book it properly, that could steal the show on Monday or on Saturday. Because I think that these two women have great chemistry. Rhea Ripley is a beast. She's like taking this women's division on her shoulder and running with it. Like, she's getting over with the fans. And I just really think that that the women's division in WWE is so much stronger than AEW and the other promotions, and that it is kind of a shame that they're not higher up in the card. But I think if they open, this shows that they're willing to bet on them, and that, like, if they, like I said, they have a chance to steal the show. And I'm really excited to see this match. I think that Rhea Ripley's going over again, and, you know, maybe she might be wearing white, and you can kind of see like that transition where she's moving over into the other side. Also, with Becky Lynch's contract up in the air, who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't see her winning this one, but yeah, it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. I like asking Chris the next question that I'm going to ask, because I know that he's had a few pops tonight, and I'm going to go through. Is Rhea Ripley the biggest draw in the WWE, Chris?
Oh, she's a goddamn star. Like, she's a goddamn star.
Is she the biggest draw in the WWE?
Right now, yeah. I think so. For sure. Like, everything she does is just so good. And I agree with Josh. Like, she's not... Like, she's going over Becky Lynch. And that's a big thing to say, to have her beat Becky Lynch. But Rhea Ripley's a goddamn star. Like, she's a star. And she could be the face of the company. She could be the face of the company super... super easy. Like, she's right there with Roman Reigns, if you ask me. I think she's right there, and she's not too far. Like, a win here might put her above him as the face of the company, which both Josh and I agree that she will go over here. And I think you could ride her, and she's a goddamn star, man.
She does everything well. You know, and above and beyond, she's, I don't even think she's the face of the WWE at this point. I'd honestly say I'd probably put her as the face of women's wrestling at this point. And, you know, and that's something big to say, because there's some really great wrestlers out in Japan, and it's sad because unless you watch
Jordan Grace,
I don't know, but she's still Jordan Grace is not the face of women's wrestling. Like, we could easily name a bunch of wrestlers that are above Jordan Grace. I'm not saying that Jordan Grace for me is not number two, but she might be in my top five or my top 10.
Who is your number two? She's my number two.
I would still put Becky Lynch, or I'd even put Charlotte Flair ahead of Jordan Grace. And I think when you look at just their natural ring ability and what they can do and versatility there, that's fine. Like, the thing that separates Rhea from Jordan Grace is Rhea can utilize power, but she's not all power. Like, she has different ways to get about. Her psychology is much better. She has ways to get in the head of not just the people that are in the ring, but the people that are around it. She knows how to tell
crowd interactions, crowd, yeah, like facial expressions.
Just everything she does is good. And it's not even the stuff, like, what makes her the face of the company, guys, is like 40% of what she does in the ring. She's a draw in magazine. She's a draw on social media. She's a massive TikTok star. She just does everything well. And I think when you go across, like, no, everybody knows who she is. And even when you look back for what she was when she was kind of like this, you know, blonde haired, like, Australian, like, kind of girl that's come to the United States, and now into this this role that she has. Like, I mean, I think the WWE is stupid. They should just make her the leader of Judgment Day, like, and just end it at that, right? Like, it's she pretty much already is. They're saying that they don't really have a leader, or that it's Priest, but, like, everybody knows that she's the one that's pulling the strings, and I think that's what separates her. Now, Becky Lynch has been in these matches. She's had great openers. She had a great opener this year with Trish Stratus in the cage match, which is great. I think putting this match first is almost crucial to get WrestleMania started. Josh, would you agree with that statement? Do you think, like, this, like, as much as we want to see them have, like, the women have a main event match, I think this is the most important match on the card, because it's going to set the tone for both days, right? Do you think that this is the right match for that?
Yeah, and in fact, I think that if you're not going last, first is the best spot, because I think that, like, I ultimately, like, in a long event, being last might not be the best thing. And I really think, like I said, they can set the tone, and it's one of those things that, like, this is like what, like, AEW does this with their promotion all the time. They start with, like, almost the best or second best match of the program, and it gets the fans really hot. So if this match does exactly what it's supposed to do, then we're going to see the fans react. And, to put the women's title match in a different spot, it wouldn't make any sense, because then you're just degrading it. And I think that, like, in day two, the women's match would probably be somewhere in the middle, because it's not highlighted as much. And I don't think it would be as good of a starter. But I think with Rhea Ripley, if you put her anywhere in, she has to be in the top four premier spots of the two days. So, like, it's either first or last.
If it can't be last, it should be first.
Exactly. And if it was the second day, it would be the same. But I think that that's a feather in her cap. They can say that she started WrestleMania day 140, right? Like, that's massive. She's your biggest woman star, and potentially your biggest star. I think that she competes well with the men. She talks phenomenally, and which, you know, is just an anomaly in people who are like her, because when your physical ability is so strong, your mic ability doesn't need to be as strong, and she's got it in spades.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's going to be a barn burner. Both of them are so key on moving the business forward and really kind of making sure that female wrestling gets what they're going to get for a lot of the stuff and make sure that they get the credibility. I don't believe in there's a way in any which way, shape, or form that they fuck this up unless it's just bad luck. Like, it's not going to be from their ability and from what they can do. Both have been hurt in the ring. They can fight through it. They're going to be able to do it. And like you said, I hope it is a barn burner. I hope they find some really unique ways. Kind of like Becky Lynch did with Nia Jax, to really kind of move that forward. And this is going to be a WrestleMania where they're going to get 15 or 20 minutes. So
yeah, there's a show stealer all over it.
Yeah, and so I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great match. I think Ripley does retain. I think at the end of the day, when you're looking forward at maybe, I think Becky Lynch might need a little bit of a refresh. Maybe end up on SmackDown. Do I think that that's going to happen? Not necessarily, just because of, you know, obviously being married to Seth, but Seth potentially might take some time off. We'll see what happens when we go to that. So, but yeah, I'd probably say Rhea goes over in this match. Now, for the last match of day one, before we do my pick for the last match of day one, which is obviously going to be probably the main event of the tag team match of the Galaxy, or, you know, fuck, whatever they're going to call it. The other matches that are rumored to be on this card are Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. I think that's going to be a really solid match. I think the hatred with Rey and Dominic provide a story, but I also think that the wrestling ability of Rey, Dragon, and Santos will really kind of highlight Dom's ability to be the heel in this, and I think, like, he probably won't get exposed as bad as we think he would if he had to wrestle with them on their own. So I think there's a lot of hatred. There's a good story in this match, and I think it will culminate there. We also have Sami Zayn versus Gunther. That's on there for the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn getting a lot of hate through the internet right now, obviously, because it's not Chad Gable, but you know, that should be a really good match. I think both are very credible in European wrestling, and I think we'll see something a little bit unique here. But the match that I'm going to pick is obviously going to be Cody and Seth Rollins against The Rock and Roman Reigns. Tag team match. If The Rock and Roman Reigns win, Bloodline rules on night two for Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship. So this match has star power written all over it. We're basically looking at the three biggest guys in the promotion, probably with one of the biggest superstars of all time in the WWE when you're looking at this. And in a tag match, you know, Rock's been out for a while. He's getting a little bit of older. And I think, like, we're kind of getting to that point where his in-ring skills are going to diminish. And I think the tag match kind of makes it so that, again, kind of like what we said with Dominic, he might not get exposed as bad, right? And it's going to kind of create that mystery or that enigma of where he actually is at with his wrestling ability. But when we are looking at this, this has big name match written all over it. We're probably going to see interference. We're probably going to see Solo and Jimmy get in there. Probably Jay. I think there's going to be a ton of people here. Now, the question is that this match to me really feels a lot like Dallas, the show Dallas, if anybody remembers that, like Who the Fuck Shot JR, or for those people who are like born in the 1990s, The Simpsons, were basically Who Shot Mr. Burns. That's the exact same thing. Fuck, we're getting old. But when you're looking at that, there's so many little twists and turns in this story that I really love. Could Seth turn on Cody? Yeah. Could Jay go back to the Bloodline? Could he interfere? Yeah. Are we going to see Solo and Jimmy? Well, we're definitely going to see Solo 100% at some point in that match. And there's so many different ways that it can go. Could Drew McIntyre get involved? Potentially. So it's almost like a whodunit. Who's going to screw Cody over to get to that point? And I think that's really what we're looking at here. Chris, when you look at this match, am I making sense when I say that? Is it going to be who screws Cody over? Because I have a massive feeling that Cody's going to have to overcome everything if he's going to take on Roman Reigns in night two.
Yeah, like I'm right on top of what you're saying. There's so many moving parts that are going to be brought into this. Like, there's a reason why this is the main event. It's because there's going to be a lot of action. There's going to be a lot of storytelling. There's going to be a lot of stuff to set up the next night, right? And I do think it is. I do think it is a whodunit. Who's going to screw over Cody Rhodes? Like, is Seth going to get a chance where he could screw him over and doesn't? Like, where we see where he has to make a decision to screw. I don't know. It's like it's exciting. I'm not excited for the in-ring because I don't think The Rock does it in-ring. Like every time he goes in the ring now, he gets hurt just like CM Punk. But but I just mean like Phil. the amount of stuff, the amount of story, the amount of people that can walk in, the amount of it's like old WCW again. So I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to set up the main event for the next night really well.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up old WCW because that was the one thing that it always did. It was always like a who done it, who's going to screw somebody else over, and it really kept you really engaged. And there was emotion to it when it would happen, like who's joining the NWO now, who's doing this, like who's under the mask at Halloween, whatever it is against Chris Jericho. It's Cecil Payne. No, it's not. It's Dean Malenko. Like it's just something. So
and even
crazy,
even
right?
Jay and Jimmy, the outcome of Jay and Jimmy might have a thing to do with what happens later on that night. So it's not going to be an in ring feat that'll steal the show, but it's going to be pure story. And I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Josh, I love this because I know you're like, hey guys, it's a fucking work. But at the end of the day, when you're going through this, are we overthinking it? Is this just too much? Is it really a whodunit?
I mean, no, I think that we're all right. I think the only thing that's very obvious is that Rock and Roman Reigns are definitely going to win this match because like the stipulation has to go through. Cody has to have like, if Cody's going to complete the story, which I still don't think is going to happen, but if he's going to complete the story, he needs to complete the story by like the trials and in tribulations. And like, it's not going to just be an easy road for him. Who did it? I don't know. I think that I agree. Jay and Jimmy could be involved. I think that they reconcile in their match and that maybe they're together and you know, that like that could be an impact, or it could just be Seth Rollins fucks him over and Seth Rollins lays down, takes the pin, and it's over because Cody doesn't have to get pinned to lose.
Why put the stipulation in if it's not gonna
And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's also a chance that like, who knows, it can Rock situate himself into that match. Like, is there still going to be a way that Rock finds a way to get into that match on night two? I don't know. I the thing that I really like about this is that I feel like it's going to be a better ending, way better ending than what happened at AEW World's End, which was our other whodunit situation. all I know is that for sure, I don't know who's walking out WrestleMania the Universal Champion. I can't tell you who I'm going to predict because it's still going to be up in the air in my opinion until it's over.
Chris, you're nodding, and I respectfully disagree. I think like he's going to finish the story 100%, and I think if you were to think that, knowing the betting odds, I'd be betting that if I were you, because Cody's minus 700. And so when you kind of look at that, like
he's minus 400.
I thought he was 700.
No, it's minus 700 for Rock and Roman to win, and then minus 400. Roman is plus 250.
Would you take that bet at 250?
We're also usually pretty right with our like our booking. We're pretty right most of the time.
I would say that like if I were to pick, because I usually whenever I've bet wrestling, there's usually one or two matches that are predicted one way that are going to go the other way, and I can tell you at the end of this which ones I think could be the opposite that go against what the odds are. But let's do the both nights and then we can discuss the odds after. How about that?
That's fine. We'll come back to that second one because I think we're going to talk about it anyways. But my
other exactly.
I think my other question would be at this point is that I just had it in my fucking head too. I don't know if I could watch WWE for another year if I had to watch this over again. That's where I kind of like get like fucking crazy about it. I don't know if I could watch Cody Rhodes for another year. Like I'd probably not watch it. We need something different. But anyways.
Well, we already saw Cody. He's the same character as he was in AEW. We've already seen it.
The whole point. So second night that we got six matches that are listed here so far. Again, this is according to the Bleacher Report, so you can find that. We're not making this up. We're trying to make it up. This is what they have as basically their setup. So they have the triple threat for the United States Championship, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul. Number two, LA Knight and AJ Styles. Number three, we got Seth freaking Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Number four, we got Bayley and Io Sky for the Women's Championship. Number five, six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Awesome Truth, New Catch Republic, DIY, The New Day, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory against Judgment Day. And then we have the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, which will probably main event day two, obviously, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. So, Chris, lead it off. Which match would you like to talk about going into this?
Again, I like match one. I like the triple threat with Randy, Kevin, and Logan. I think it'll be a good match. Those are three solid workers. You have two veterans in there with a guy who seems to have it figured out in Logan Paul. So for them to carry him, I think that'll be a banger. And
we're gonna switch. We're gonna switch this up a little bit, Josh. Quick fire question for you: Logan Paul retaining this? What do you think?
I actually have him losing. I have him losing, but I think the betting odds are in his favor. But I don't think he retains. I think that we might see a Randy Orton win.
Really?
If I had to put money on it, that's who I would. But I wouldn't bet this match because it's too much of a toss-up.
Chris, you disagree. Why do you disagree with that statement? You think Logan Paul walks out with the title?
Yeah, I think Logan Paul walks out. I think he screws somebody. I don't think he gets a clean win. I think he gets a dirty win, but I think he walks out. Like, there's too much money on him. There's too much money on him to not have a belt on him.
So I think when you kind of look at this, one of the arguments that I've actually read recently is that a lot of people think that, not a lot of people, but the people that wrote this article think that Kevin Owens are probably going to probably win this match. I think he's probably the least likely out of the three because we've seen a lot of Orton and Paul, more so than Owens. Owens has kind of been in the mix, but nothing super crazy. But one of the arguments is that he could possibly be one of the best United States champion of all time, and that's like his Hall of Fame draw, right? So I don't know if that's 100% true. I wouldn't have Kevin Owens. I think I'd be right with Josh. If we were putting our money together and pooling, I think we'd avoid this all the way through, right? But in the topic of the type of match that this can have with the quality of the psychology of Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, do you think that this is going to be a banger? Are we going to see some really high-end stuff from these guys moving forward just because we have some great psychological minds in here? Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Logan's got all the tools, and then you have Randy and Kevin in there with him to like guide the match. I think this could be the show stealer for the second night for sure, because all they have to do is say a little thing in his ear and he can do it. Like, physically he can do it, and they have all the ring psychology in the world. So all Logan has to do is basically be a dick like he is normally, be athletic like he is, and like, I just think it could be a super great match. I hope Randy doesn't get hurt. I hope he doesn't get hurt, but we'll see. I don't think even Kevin Owens winning the unit, I don't think it does anything for him at this point. So that's why I don't see him walking out with it.
So Josh, my other question for you, a little bit rapid draw: what color of Prime does Logan Paul bring to the ring?
I think it's going to be red. Red Prime. Maybe green. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that I can see how Logan wins this because I think that like maybe you could start the program with Randy and Kevin, right? Like, you start a program with Randy and Kevin after this, and then they've kind of got something to do for a little while before they get back into a title picture. The only reason I think that Logan loses is because it's like, I don't know. You can only have him as a champion for so long. You get the title off of him in a triple threat match because he doesn't have to take the pin. You know, Kevin could take the pin. Randy can't take the pin. I think that whoever wins, Kevin Owens takes the pin. That's the reason I think Kevin Owens is booked in this match, is to take the pin. I like Kevin Owens. I don't see him winning this match, but I could see Randy because I feel like I believe he can carry him and gives him something to do for the next little while, unless he's going to be the next guy that chases the heavyweight championship. So, but he can't take the pin here. It's gonna be Kevin Owens takes the pin. That's the money line. If we had more side bets, that's what I would like to bet on, is who's going to take the pin.
That's Joshua Daniels' lock of the week.
There you go.
I would agree with you that Owens is probably taking the pin here.
Chris, my last question for you is: generally, in any Logan Paul match, we see some crazy spot. What would you bet on if you were a betting man or you were to book the spot? What would you have him do in this match?
I like his top rope dives to the table. I think he does like the frog splash. I think he does it really well. Looks good. So I think, and you're right. Yeah, he always is. He's just like Shane McMahon. He's always due for one good, big, nice spot. And I think that's the best one that he so far that he's done that he's made look the best. So I would want to see that again.
Yeah, I think it all has the makings of a great opener if that's the case. I don't know if that'll be the opening match, but I kind of have my heart set on what Knight and Styles may be opening. But because I think that's going to be kind of a, I don't know, whatever. It's not my fucking thing. So, Josh, you get to pick a match. Which match are you picking now?
I think I got to go with the shirt. So I'm going to pick Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins. I think that this has the potential to be a highlight of night two. The storyline and, you know, the threat of CM Punk being involved keeps things spicy. Anything could happen.
Yeah, so let's talk about fucking that little fucking needle in the haystack there. That's Phil Brooks on commentary. Chris, is Phil Brooks or CM Punk going to interfere in this match at all just because of the hate that he's been getting from, obviously, Josh's shirt?
Yeah, well, I assume I'm going to have to see CM Punk, even though I don't want to that night. But, yeah, I assume he'll do something dumb to try to get himself in the picture, even though he can't wrestle because he's hurt. And, yeah, I was kind of disappointed when they're like, I'm going to be on commentary. That's so 2000. Like to be on commentary.
No, it's for not even 2000. It's so AEW, right?
Yeah, to be on commentary for a match. Commentary. Like, you can't wrestle. I don't care. Like, just don't be there. So, yeah, I assume he'll get involved and he'll rip off whatever cast he has because I'm sure he's healed for the time being at this point. And then, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather he wasn't involved because, like Drew's been a fucking savage lately, like with everything. Like he's been a sad and he's
going to get it. Savior of WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rock didn't save it. Drew did. And like Seth he's obviously hurt, right? Like he's been hurt for a while. So I figure he's probably dropping it to Drew here, and then I'm sure Punk will get involved to like start some dumb storyline with Punk, who's dumb, who mentions Vince McMahon for some reason on TV.
Josh, I'm going to get to you in a second because I have to ask Chris a quick fire question here. On a scale of 1 to 10, fucking Pabst Blue Ribbons, how much do you hate CM Punk? Why don't you just like be honest and tell us how much you fucking hate him?
Can I go over 10 or I can only go to 10?
Well, I don't know. 10, you'd be pretty drunk. So it's basically a scale.
10 hatred. 10 hatred. Friends off.
10 hatred. Friends off. There we go. Now, Josh, Chris alluded to, obviously, Drew McIntyre really stepping into his own the last 3 months. Kind of go back from his WrestleMania win during COVID, where he literally basically won the title with nobody in the stadium in Tampa Bay. Is this his redemption arc? Is this where he gets his chance to kind of go over Rollins, take the title, and have his WrestleMania moment? Like, I'm not the fan of giving him a redo just for the sake of giving him a redo, but I mean, everything he's done in the last 3-4 months has been money. And is this a chance that you capitalize on that instead of waiting for somebody to hold on to a title for 750 days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, just the fact that he went from, like, being, like, the biggest baby face to now being this, like, heel who it's so much better. I like it so much more. Like I would never cheer for Drew McIntyre because his storylines were just kind of like, I'm the good guy. And like, it's just like, I didn't like that shit and it was just boring and it wasn't making, you know, the needle move. And I think that like, he really took this opportunity because this is what it was. It was an opportunity that he wasn't going to have because it clearly was going to be CM Punk. And then Drew McIntyre took it and ran with it. And like, he can be the person that takes the belt off of, Seth Rollins. In fact, that like, he is heavily favored to win this match, betting odds, you know? I think that, you know, I agree that Seth is probably hurt. Drew McIntyre could be the one that dethrones him. I still think that there's a money in the bank chance that like at one of these titles could be scooped up by Damian Priest, maybe. I'd love to see it. Like that would be so like I would love to see like could you imagine if Cody finishes the story and then Damian Priest takes it away? Woo, that would
I
be
didn't, I didn't even think chef's of money kiss. Money in the bank. Mwah. It's such a variable in
there's
in
a matters. Chance. Yeah. That yeah. No matter what happens, that you know it could be Seth Rollins could win and then still lose. So
in a lot of cases it has been WrestleMania, but people also forget in a lot of cases that it's also been Backlash, right? So
in a lot
of scenarios where it goes either or, I think he's probably a better opportunity of him like stealing it at Backlash. But fuck, would it ever be something if he even stole either one of those titles? Like I have a tough time thinking that. Like man. That'd be pretty fucking crazy if he stole it off Rhodes when you start thinking about that. But
that's really like the ultimate screwdrop, right? Like Triple H comes out with this fucking sledgehammer and helps. Like that would be even better. You know, like you have the whole world against Cody Rhodes, or like, you know, CM Punk comes out and helps and then he takes it
up. The money in the bank cashes are money. Like it's such a big pop. It makes a huge pop every time there's a cash. So
yeah, sure. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it.
I
think what's problematic with it is that the person that's holding that money in the bank title is not higher than the people that are having the World Heavyweight Championship. Like when, like you look at when Rollins cashed in, he was in a spot where he could take it off of somebody and really step into that role. I don't think Priest is there yet. And I think that's part of the problem where like, who are you going to take it off? You're going to have Chody Chase for 2 years and you have Priest take it off him. Like, logic wise, it doesn't make sense. Do I want it to happen? I wouldn't be against it happening, but I think it's really going to be hard on your storylines for the next couple months if that were to be the outcome, right?
Well, to give these money Priest in the banks to people.
Priest in general was a weird winner for the briefcase, if you ask
me. But it's been a weird winner before. Austin Theory got it the last time, and then they're like, oh fuck, we can't put a major championship on this guy, so we're gonna make him use it on the United States champion. Didn't Otis win it one time? Like was it Otis? Someone well, yeah, or was that
like one of the other ones that really comes up to somebody who didn't cash properly was like Damian Sandow. You know, like there's a couple of people that haven't cashed correctly because they were in positions where what's the word I'm looking for? Like they weren't able to step into that main event draw, right? It's kind of like King of the
they
Ring
were below the that, glass ceiling.
Yeah, like King of the Ring winners that went on to be WWE champion, like back in the old days. Like one of the only ones that never did it was Billy Gunn, right? And it's just because there was just so many people up there, and the knock on Billy was never his in ring work. It was mostly he couldn't cut a promo. As well as the other guys to be in that top draw back in that Attitude Era. Like, it wasn't his luck. It wasn't his in-ring work. But that's my problem with Priest. Priest, his in-ring, like, his promo skills are getting better. His in-ring work is clunky at best. He's got some big power moves, which is that's his strong suit. But I think at the end of the day, as far as being that kind of that face of that company right off the bat, it's not, like, he's not for me, right? So it will be interesting. Now,
Otis did win it.
Otis won a money in the bank.
Yeah, because then something happened. He lost his contract to The Miz at Hell in a Cell. And then The Miz had the contract.
Fuck, poor Otis.
I knew I remembered that. That's what I'm saying is that like nope, it wouldn't be the first time that they put it on someone who was never going to cash it in properly. But who I think that Damian Priest is going to win.
Who
there's lots the... of most of the men, mostly the men Sandow have lost. Women.
Sandow lost it.
Yeah, like a couple people have cashed and lost.
Yeah.
Sandow, yeah, because Sandow was pushed super hard. Then he lost the money in the bank. That's instant burial.
Yeah, and it just killed him. And then it's sad because all the work that he did in WWE was really, really good. Even when he played The Miz's understudy and basically copied everything The Miz did, like that was fucking hilarious. Like everything gold. He did was great.
You remind me of Canyon. You remind me of Canyon a lot.
A little bit, but more like a better looking Canyon. So, long story short, when you're kind of going through it, I kind of agree with Josh. I think some people, when you look at a face or a heel, some people kind of sit in and you can see their personality better one way or the other. And I think McIntyre's personality, because he is such a nice guy, comes out more as a heel. And it's more of like, it's like all the bad shit that's happened to him over the years, like getting released, having all the problems that he has. It's almost like he can take that and turn it into a reason for you to fucking hate him, because he's relatable. Right. So he can relate to that and say, well, this is how I felt back then. And it comes in where he plays the face. I think he feels maybe sometimes he has, because I mean, I remember watching one of the shows where he was going to win the title on the network, and it almost feels like he has imposter syndrome. So like he doesn't relate as a face as well as he would as a heel, because he's gone through all the challenges and he's going to have like he's better as a everybody's against me mentality than being the hero that everybody needs. Right. Because he's, kind of his story is a bit of an anti-hero story in a way.
His music, everything's heel. Even his music, everything's heel about him.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Sheamus could go in and out, right? Like Sheamus was much better suited as a heel than he was as a face, but he was a little bit better at doing the face stuff. But you know, he was just a much better heel all the way through. Now we'll come back. Now we've already talked about this final match of the evening in regards to the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match with Cody and Reigns. It looks like it's probably going to be Bloodline Rules, which, you know what, it's kind of fucking stupid because we still don't know really what that entails. It's probably a no DQ match where the Bloodline can get involved at any single point. A lot of crazy shit can happen. I think it's going to be absolute fucking chaos is what I think it's going to be. And but, you know, Chris, Josh doesn't think the story ends. Do you think the story ends at WrestleMania?
I believe I mentioned this really early in one of our old audio only podcasts, that you can't have this going for 2 years without giving Cody the win here. Like if you've built this for 2 years, you brought him in under his AW name, he got his AW music. Like you got to give him if he wins here, like what do you do with Cody after that? Because we all know Roman is gone soon. So somebody's got to start carrying the company, but you can't do this for 2 years and then not have him take this win. I think it's going to be another awesome thing with a whole bunch of people running in and a whole bunch of like stuff going on in the match. And I think it'll be fun. I don't think the in-ring will be the best, but I think it'll be a super fun match. And if Cody doesn't win, I'm going to be a little upset.
And so we know where Josh stands, and we're going to get to Josh. Josh, do you think that this is going to be like a Roman Reigns style match? Do you think this is going to be kind of where Cody's going to kind of get the, you know, kind of start it off, get his shots in, have a couple of near falls? But then do you think really Roman is going to go to that typical Roman match where he kind of beats down on Cody for 10 minutes, gets the crowd into it, starts yelling that he's the greatest person of all time? And like, or like, do you think that that's going to be the style of this match for the 20, 25, 30 minutes that we're going to see it? Or do you think that we're going to see something off the cuff and different for a WrestleMania main event?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's inevitable that Roman's going to have that moment. Like, you think you could challenge me? Like, you know, like he has that, he has that talk with the person in the ring. Like, he's very clearly going to have that. I think that like the way that it's probably going to go is going to be like open where Cody's ahead, and then Roman has some cheap move that gets him to be where he's working on Cody for the bulk of the match. And if Cody is truly going to win, then he'll win in that, like where he's like overcome every instance. But I still think that there's that like small chance that there's like a triple quadruple swerve that happens, that like where Cody doesn't leave WrestleMania the champion. Doesn't mean that he doesn't beat Roman Reigns, but there's a chance. I still think that there's a chance that he doesn't leave the champion. And I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it, but if I were going to bet on this match, I would still pick that Cody wouldn't leave the champion of WrestleMania. But I don't know. I for some reason, I just feel like WWE is being really stubborn with this, and they want to get Roman past Hulk Hogan. But maybe that's just like me thinking like of how they were booking it when Vince was still in charge. And then that was kind of the direction that they wanted him to go. I still think that there's a chance that there's some animosity towards Cody Rhodes. And like, is Cody Rhodes really proven he can run the company and take Roman Reigns' spot? I no offense, but like, I really don't buy him. Like, he doesn't do it for me. Like, when he comes into the ring, he just isn't doing it for me. I know, Matt, I can see your eyes.
As the face of the company, like when you're thinking of the face of the company, he does everything right. I'm not saying that he's the best in the ring, Josh. I agree with you 100%. I think we can name probably five people that are fucking better than him right now. But when it comes to meeting all the requirements of being the face of the company, he meets them all.
Like, oh, sure. I'm just saying is that he doesn't – I don't feel it, right? Like, they're telling me he's the face of the company. He looks like the face of the company, but I'm like, no, I'm not buying it. I'm saying.
All of his promos are the same as the AEW and when he went to the Indies promos. They're all the same.
I'm almost shocked that they would be willing to put their whole back, like everything on his back right now. Like, I think that it makes more sense for him to continue to chase something. He's not the person that I'd put the company on, and that's okay. Like, but like, if he turns heel, I might change my story, right? Cause you know how I feel about it. I'm not a big fan of the faces, and, I never really. Cody Rhodes, I never believed him as a champion.
I agree. I don't buy Cody either. I don't until he's never given us a hard times promo. Every promo is the same talking points. He delivers it the same way. It's the same thing we saw in AEW. So like, why is WWE taking an AEW star, not changing his name, not changing his music, not changing anything, and just having an AEW guy all of a sudden challenge for the title?
I think that he's just as much of a WWE guy as he is an AEW guy, because that's where he got started, right? Like, and I think that AEW, like the Indies, is where he became the character that he needed to be. I'm just saying is that right now I don't believe that that character is the man who beats Roman Reigns. I they're booking him like that, so like I expect him to win. If you're saying who I think is going to win, I don't think it's going to be him.
But I'm less of a fan of Cody in WWE now than I was with Cody in WWE before.
That's a hot take.
Well, no, I thought like he was great. He was an underdog. You could always see he has all this potential, and then now he's being pushed to the moon. But there's no work on his character. It's the same character that I saw in who started AEW, who loved to start a promotion on his own. And then he came in and he's just the same thing. Like, if you move companies, I want to see change. Like,
but Chris, who do you want him to play? He's playing himself. Like, what do you want him to do? You want him to show up in jeans? Like, this is what I don't agree with in that comment, is that he's playing himself. He's not fucking playing his dad. He's not playing anybody. He's playing himself. My next question comes, who's the number one babyface in the company? It's fucking him. 1,000%.
Oh, yeah.
And like, yeah, Josh, maybe, yeah. Like, I mean, the numbers will dictate whatever it is. I mean, the bottom line is he just signed a new deal. And I think that was partially what was holding them back from maybe signing him the first time. Maybe let's see the numbers. But the numbers have clearly been there for him to take over. If it, like, my other question would be for this, when it comes down to it, is, if you were to book this, let's say Roman wins, how do we book him for the next 6 months? Like, I mean, what do we do? Like, we've just wasted all the money on him to finish it. So my question would be, Josh, if you were to finish it with him to make money, how would you finish it?
Well, so, I mean, The Rock is a very clear out, right? Like, I mean, The Rock is the final boss. He doesn't mean he's the final boss for Cody, right? It could be the final boss for Roman. It could be the final, like... I just feel like I don't know how you end Roman's story. I feel like I'd love to see it run and cheaply with Damian Priest taking it away. That would be so great to root the. Like, I would really be like, love to see the legacy be just like scooped up and like taken and like by like an asterisk, right? So that like Roman Reigns' legacy has been like not dethroned by Cody Rhodes, you know, the guy who came back from the promote, like from a promotion that he successfully started.
Put by Damian Priest.
I don't know. I think that maybe there's a chance that Roman Reigns just is like, you know what? I'm done and I'm going to retire.
I have the out right now. Let Rhea Ripley win.
Yeah, I just think that there's a chance that they don't give Cody his comeuppance, or they give Cody, they don't give his Cody his flowers, and that's all. That's it. I still think there's a chance. I still think that they want to finish that Hulk Hogan bit, and then they'll figure it out later.
Josh, actually, one of the pluses is that if he doesn't do it, and the odds are showing that he's going to, but let's say he doesn't, then you still have this opportunity to kind of end Hulk Hogan's 40 years and kind of move into this new era. I don't know what this new era is going to be, but it is significantly different now than what it was. And I think like it's not an attitude era. We're out of that 2000s PG area. We're kind of something in the middle, right? And I think even if you were to hold it on Reigns, which still isn't bad, I mean, because you're still going to have Reigns talk. The question is then it really going to open up SummerSlam? Because I think that's where you're probably going to see Rock and Reigns go at it at some point. And I think that's really where you're going to see it. And that's usually where The Rock makes his exit stage right, is probably going to be that. So
and I think Hunter probably wants Roman to beat the record just because it's on his creative at this point, right?
But he doesn't beat it until well past Survivor Series, right? So the question really becomes, if The Rock exits, then Roman's going to win SummerSlam too, and he's going to have to win Survivor Series as well.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see this anymore. Like, I'm kind of over it. But at the same time, like, I just kind of feel like you have one. You can't do this again. Like, this is the last time in the next 20 years that you have someone with a title this long. And so if you're going to do it, like, and you're going to be promoting this whole time, like, he might beat Hulk Hogan. Like, I just feel like they invest a lot of effort in this whole, like, storyline of he's gonna beat Hulk Hogan. It's like, you're writing the fucking story. You can tell us, like, you can do whatever you want, right?
Well,
like,
it's optics, so, though, right? They want the optics of beating, like, Hogan was a terrible wrestler. Like, he was awful.
Yeah.
And Roman never wrestles. Like, he barely wrestles.
Well, that's how you hold the title. You can't get hurt, right? Otherwise, Philly Brooks, he's gonna have the title for 30 minutes, right? Because he'll announce his injury. And then it'll be another champion.
Oh, he'll win the title. You know what he's going to do? Come on Raw the next day and be like, and I tore every bone in my body.
I tore my pinky.
He's going to hit Damian Priest with a lead pipe. And then him and Colonel Mustard are going to steal the Money in the Bank thing and win the tag titles.
Could you imagine if Money in the Bank just transferred? Like, it would be similar to like the hardcore title, where it's like, it's just always like whoever holds it in their hand is the one who has the Money in the Bank. So all you have to do is club Damian Priest, and then it's Dominic Mysterio.
Oh shit! Did you guys see the Norman Smiley? Who did the Norman Smiley? Was it one of the top? Was it Top Flight? Or who's WWE the two guys? Not Top.
Oh, Street Profits.
Street Profits. One of the guy did a Norman Smiley, like the
yeah, I think he did it on top of the table on SmackDown last night.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
I didn't see it.
Okay, Josh, WrestleMania preview edition. What slices your salami, Scooter Brooks?
Okay, so I'm actually going to introduce a new segment. It's going to be called, you know what really makes me mark?
What is going to make you mark?
Okay, so you know what really makes me mark is when the Young Bucks come in and they do their flex. And right now it's really effective because, like, I think when they do it, when they're non-heels, it's kind of, like, authentic. But, like, they're not bulky guys, right? Like, Matt Jackson is a little bit bulkier than Nick Jackson. But Nick Jackson is not – they're not impressive. So when they do it, it really makes me angry. But because they're heels, it really makes me mark, right, when they do – like this. And it's like, wow, this is great. So that really makes me mark. I love that Matt's laughing. But yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, that's great that I'm thinking that it's terrible. It just gave me that reaction that they're supposed to have. So to Nick and Matt Jackson, you really make me mark, baby.
You know what makes me mark? Big Bill cutting a promo using the NCAA tournament, saying that they're the number one seed, Top Flight of the 16 seeds. Ricky Starks get injured, and then Top Flight ends up winning the match.
Yeah, it was so bad too, because it looked like what he got injured on didn't look like it injured him, but he got a stinger or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what makes me mark?
Twitter, he says, what?
What?
My mark is all of Will Ospreay's intros now. Like, he's so happy to be there. Like, he's so happy.
Yeah.
Bruv.
Bruv.
Bruv. Bruv. Bruv.
Got to get a Bruv shirt.
Okay, Josh, WrestleMania preview, final notice, final collection. Any last thoughts?
Go Roman.
Chris, looks like you had a fun Easter. I can definitely tell, which is a great thing.
I made the turkey. I made, and then my mom, when she showed up, she took over, so I didn't have to cook anymore. So my dad and I just busted open the 1990 full pack of baseball cards and went through them. I found a guy named Oil Can Jones. Yeah, and so it was good. It was really good. I'm fucking pumped. I'm pumped for WrestleMania. Like, I'm pumped.
That's Chris, and that's Chris's final comment, unless you have another final comment.
Not getting canceled. We're still here.
That's true. Fucking should have ate at Arby's. Just kidding.
We got the meats.
With that being said, wherever you are in the world and wherever you're going to be next week for WrestleMania night one, night two, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night from everybody here at the Rub Wrestling Podcast. We all bid you adieu. Bang. Because the beat's running copacetic. When it all falls down, I hope you don't forget it. Necro City, son of anarchy, the hype demanded me. Mikey damage, show you amateurs, the cost of vanity. So fuck humanity, throw me murder open-handedly. Most of my clique, yo, they come from broken families. The world that we know it is coming to a closure. Can't find peace in a world full of soldiers. Can't stop getting older. Up north, when the streets run down.